News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block off East Cotton, open 7 days a week. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, you know what?
It's
a Saturday morning. We're here talking radio.
Yes, we are.
It's a live event today, April 18, 2020. And we're doing the history show because we need to, and also because I think the city needs us to. And some people out there in the country, you know, they listen to us from across wherever.
We're essential, let's put it that way.
Well, not only that, I think it's essential we change the subject once in a while. And since we're never on, hopefully, what's on currently going on. Maybe shut the door now. They're starting to yell in the control room. Live radio. But the thing is,
we can yell back.
No, we got the mics in here, but they can also cut us off. So we got to balance how we work with those people, you know. But in the meantime, we do have the radio show that we normally do. And a couple of things going on today, just to let you know. We're going to do the show we planned a long time ago. Texas history. You know what? It does begin in El Paso.
That's a good thing.
And what else you know about that?
Well, if it starts in El Paso, it also goes out all the rest of the world and country. If you can go to ktsmradio.com and you can click on the link there and you can listen to us there, and go to the iHeartRadio app also and listen to us by just typing in KTSM.
Now, one normal thing we're not going to do is trivia. There's no way to pick up prizes, and there's no way to give away food at our restaurants because they need you to go buy food. We'll give you some phone numbers here in a little bit. But we do have the history moment, right?
Yes, we do. And we're talking about those magnificent men of the 1st Aero Squadron and their flying machines here on the board.
you're going to start singing here in a minute?
So anyway, that's a favorite song of mine.
And not going to lunch today, but we encourage you to go to our restaurants, Pepe's and Amigos. As I say, we'll give you, for takeout orders, we'll give you some phone numbers.
But you can't go to lunch. You go to Pepe's, Migos, pick up the food, go home and have lunch.
Takeout is what you can do. And also Mission Del Rey has the Southwest. They've got a website, so you can. That's another sponsor of ours. And Patrick Tuttle, go buy a house from Patrick. We'll get you some of those details. And again, no trivia. All right, let's talk today about what's going on here. A rescheduled show. Bernie Sargent is here. Good morning, Bernie.
Hello.
Welcome here, dude.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
And it's good to you to come in here and hang out with us, because we had already scheduled you about a month ago and then got bumped.
Yeah.
But here we are talking about stuff. So it's a Mr. El Paso history is how I refer to you.
Yeah. Better than Mrs.
Good, indeed.
I kind of like the Mrs.
Well, no, you're one of those people who's actually studied this place quite a bit.
I do.
And you have seen a lot and heard a lot more things than most people who go to school here. Because frankly, as I always harp on, our history is not taught here.
No.
It should be.
If you could say there's a fun thing about what's going on right now, is the ability to share this history online on a daily basis. Because we get feeds from different historical sources. The Texas State Historical Association, Texas Historical Commission, all these people have things they're sending out. And in what I'm trying to do is share all that information with people that are out there. You know, there's lesson plans for 4th graders and 7th graders. So we're doing that. And that way the parents / teachers that are home right now won't go totally crazy, because there's other things they can teach your kids. And they learn something.
And we'll tell more details, but we did put most of our DVDs. I've been making them for 20 years. And you guys were in the very first one I did there, Gunfights of the Old West.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that and Keystone.
Keystone was there, but that's not online
that's
yet.
That's where we met you when you started doing the Keystone.
Yeah, and that was a biggie. So we can talk some of those. But those are now online. Keystone's not, but the rest of them are, and they're free. Just go to YouTube.
El Paso should thank you for your hard work on that.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. I mean, we did sell a few and paid some phone bills that way.
Small phone bills.
Well, on a monthly basis, that was about what it was. But you can't retire on the kind of stuff we did. Thank God my wife has a real job. That was good of her to let me do this.
I'm saying the same thing.
This art thing, you know. But anyway, the history that we've got here, you and I have talked about this, Bernie, a number of times. You being a permanent guest on the radio show, we appreciate you doing that.
Thank you.
But it's a history of A to Z, and that could be what could that be? Antonita Zaragoza. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we can play it that way if you
Zapata.
Want. But today, we're going to talk about the Spanish explorer Coronado. There, you know, I've Googled El Paso Coronado and or Coronado slash El Paso, and I got 3,640,000 results for the search of Coronado, El Paso, Texas. So Coronado is a big deal. I mean, what do you got here? You got a high school name for him. He was the conquistador Francisco Vasquez de Coronado. And in the Coronado High School website, they say he is his expeditions in what is now the Southwest United States took him through what is now El Paso. And from their high school page, they
said, "Are you kidding?"
They said he was here.
You're kidding.
Wait a minute. Let me get to the punchline. They said he was here, and he set a legend in motion. He discovered a place where greatness would strive. That's from the EPISD Coronado page. So let's ask the real question here, Bernie Sargent. How many times did Coronado get to El Paso?
On a count of three, zero.
Zero.
Nada.
The man was never here.
No.
But he got the laundry. He got millions of hits on a website.
Yeah.
He got the country club. He got the high school, the Thunderbird. But bottom line, Coronado never came here.
No, he didn't.
But a lot of places he didn't go.
Well, but he was influential.
Yeah.
Now, he was a predecessor to Oñate, who came here in 1598. The name El Paso came from Oñate's expedition. Mm-hmm. So that's for real. We know that history. But the Coronado stuff is kind of bizarre. So I thought we'd take a look at that today.
Sure.
Just because there's so many things are named after Coronado.
Yeah.
So who was this guy, Coronado?
He was, his life was kind of determined by the fact that he was the second-born son of a fairly affluent family in Spain. And being the second-born, he was not set up to inherit the property, the family goods, so to speak. So he had to kind of strike out on his own. But being from a family of nobility, he did have the opportunity to meet people that could pull some strings for him. And that's how he ended up in Mexico. He came over to seek his fortune and seek some kind of remuneration for his life, for his name. And he met a few people down in Mexico that really helped him out.
What time frame? 1630s? 1530s. When was it? 1598 was on Yates.
1536.
It'd be 1536 for Coronado.
Yeah.
So he was plugging into the society there, and Cortez had already taken the place over with like 300 soldiers and guns. And the other thing about Cortez that was so weird, they were expecting a major somebody to appear at that year, at that time,
mm-hmm.
the Indians were, in their legends.
Mm-hmm.
And so here comes this guy on a boat with these horses, and he hops off the boat and rides around, and they think this must be the guy we've been waiting for. Well, if they were waiting for him, they had the wrong bus, because that was not a good plan. He took the place over. And in about less than 20 years,
yeah.
In several years, he ended up controlling the whole empire of Mexico and Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up taking apart the castle of Montezuma and rebuilding a little town of his own, yeah. and mansions and everything.
Well, he tore down the Montezuma's castle.
And used the bricks.
And
or
used
whatever.
That for his for the capital. Building, so to speak, down there in Mexico City.
So it was a really strange kind of time for mm-hmm. the locals, because they didn't have the weaponry that he did.
No.
And they didn't have the legend he did. So he rolled in at the right time, so a lot of them just kind of like said, oh, this is the guy we're looking for. And they just rolled all over him.
Yeah, they certainly didn't appreciate what happened after the fact.
Oh,
but,
my God, no.
The problem was with the explorers of the time, not just the Spanish, but the Portuguese and the English and so on. When they moved into different areas, they took advantage of the situation to the point of, kind of sinful in a way, because they would create slavery, do all these nasty things that you and I up today would never think of doing.
It's against the law.
Well, not only that, but humanitarianly speaking,
right?
If that's a word, we wouldn't do those kind of things.
No, he's a bad dude, and somebody said on Facebook, this guy was a bad dude. I said, oh, you mean Bernie or Coronado? Because you had your pictures side by side, and on Facebook you have like over 5,000 reaches, by the way, today's promo.
Coronado wasn't as bad as some of his predecessors and people that followed after him. You know, he did let's just say usurp his authority, but he felt it was for the protection of his soldiers. And the hundreds of natives that they took along with them.
So let's take a look at what was going on in Mexico City. He was in the process of getting married.
Yes.
And he was marrying up on purpose because, as you mentioned, he didn't have an inheritance. He thought he'd marry into one, basically.
Well, the treasurer of New España, Nueva España, married her daughter, or his daughter.
He married the guy's daughter.
Beatrice, yeah.
And so that was a big deal. They were having a wedding. And then right in the middle of the wedding ceremony, the strangest thing happened.
Yeah, four people showed up.
Four people who some were Spaniards.
Three were Spaniards and one was a Moor.
The black guy.
The black guy.
Esteban.
Esteban, yeah.
Esteban.
They had walked to Mexico City from Florida.
Yes. Well, they kind of sailed along the coast from Florida to the Texas.
Oh, so from Texas they wandered and then they wandered to Mexico
City.
Yeah,
the whole story with you know with him was just amazing. The Vaca had just truly, you know, when you read the story from the start to finish, it's incredible. He was a hero of several different battles in Spain and Italy.
Cabeza de Vaca.
Cabeza de Vaca.
Head of the cow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was appointed the treasurer, so to speak, of the mission Nevarez was taking to discover gold in Florida. And when they got to the coast of Florida, they sent 300 soldiers on shore to look for the gold, but the soldiers said, well, wait a minute, we want that for ourselves. So things just kind of went awry right from the beginning.
Greed.
Greed stepped in, yes.
It'll trip up any expedition.
Yeah, and they didn't find it. In fact, they ran out of food. Their provisions ran short. They ended up making rafts out of the different types of wood that they could find. The rafts were just a few inches above the waterline. They didn't have anything for sales to speak of, so they skinned some of the animals that they would hunt, and they used their clothing, their shirts and their trousers for sails. And they tried to sail around Florida and back up along the coast and got as far as close to Louisiana when a hurricane, they didn't know what it was, it was just one heck of a storm took place. So what started out as 300 men ended up just being a couple rafts of individuals that came up on the shore of what became Texas.
And can you imagine living through a hurricane and that happened to you?
Yeah, and then you have the shore Indians or shore natives attacking them, so they were wiping them out too. They just couldn't win on this deal.
Had a bad day.
And so this is the crowd that ended up walking into Mexico City while Coronado was getting married.
Yeah.
And we decided it was 1536, give or take, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Looking back now, let's just call it the 1530s.
Well, it's April. Well, July of 1536 is when Coronado got married.
Okay, so July 1536, and that's way ahead of Oñate, which was 1598,
right.
The guy we talk about all the time coming through El Paso. So so this guy, Coronado, gets married, and these four dudes show up.
Well, and you can imagine.
Party crashers.
Party crashers. Now, they said they rode in, you know, with their armament and so on, but the stories that I read that were written by National Park Service and others, they really didn't have the adornment that some of the books talk about. Cabeza de Vaca actually traveled most of the route from the Gulf of Mexico around the Gulf of California down to Mexico City barefoot.
Wow.
Just like the natives did. So I don't think they were looking as good as they've been painted.
But they had run into some Spanish slave hunters or something.
Yeah, just north of Mexico City. And that's when he went, whoop.
Hey, we speak Spanish, so we'll talk.
Yeah.
And so they realized, okay, you guys are also Spaniards. Who the heck are you? And they figured that out. So well, they helped outfit them and get them back to Mexico City.
Yeah, and they knew they were on the right course, because prior to that, they saw some of the natives wearing adornments that looked like horseshoe nails and things, and natives wouldn't have been wearing those unless they ran into Spaniards.
Okay, so they sort of figured out they were getting near something.
They got down as far as, well, Culiacan, that area.
Would they have known, what Esteban and the boys and Cabeza de Vaca, would they have known Mexico City was what it was?
They knew that there was a settlement there.
And they were trying to reach it?
They were trying to reach it, yeah. And so when they got there, well, like you say, they come into town in the middle of this big ceremony. I mean, this was a big deal, this big wedding that they were having with Coronado.
Oh, this was the wedding of the world down there.
Big time, yeah, the swords and everything. And these guys come riding in. It's like, who are these people? So after the ceremony was over, they called them into the headquarters, so to speak, the capital. And
they told their story. Put yourself on hold right there, because we're going to take a break here. Mike, you ready? We got Mike Rivera in there, the man who never quits.
Yes, he is.
There you go. Yeah, Mike, I award
you. That's all I can communicate with is a bell now.
One ringy dingy. We award you a day off tomorrow. Whether it works or not, I don't know. But that's double. And thank you, Shelley Sutherland, being in. Shelley will take your calls here. We're not going to do the trivia, but we'll take calls if you want to ask us something or tell us something. And it has to be on topic, because we're not really interested in the other topic of the day, because we're doing El Paso history today.
That's right.
And we're doing it in a roundabout way, because Coronado had so many things in this town named after him.
Not only here, but everywhere. I mean, we lived in Arizona. The high school the kids would have gone to was Coronado High School.
Well, how about in Kansas? I think he got as far as there.
He did get up to Kansas.
And one of his guys discovered the Grand Canyon.
That's right.
We'll talk about that. Melissa, your children went to?
Coronado. And if they hadn't, if we'd stayed in Arizona, do you realize if we'd stayed in Arizona where we live there, they would have got a Coronado High School in Arizona, in Scottsdale.
So who was this guy? That's what we're talking about
everywhere.
Today. And we're kind of trying to figure that out because in relation to El Paso, he's a dry cleaners.
I drove a DeSoto once.
Did you? DeSoto. Is that near Coronado? No, that's not.
Did you find the Fountain of Youth?
That's a different guy. Well, we'll find out about some of that. We ready for
crazy
a break here?
Spaniards.
We'll take a call, but they have to have a phone and they have to dial this number. Magic number. Ready?
915-544-KTSM or 915-544-5876.
Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Amigos! I heard that somewhere. Yeah, I went down to Amigos this week, got some food. Out over to Pepe's got some food, and you can get that on a takeout basis. Down there at Amigos, he's got an outdoor patio.
That's
if
right.
You want to buy it, go sit out there. You can actually eat down there. But anyway, so Melissa, we've got to get Facebook working today. You're going to do something on it?
Yeah, in fact, I'm on it right now. I haven't put Mr. Sarge's second picture up yet, but I wanted to mention that. Did you see the video from Juarez and that this guy put up? There's a gentleman by the name of Pablo Moran, and he has Las Fotos y Video de Juarez. And he has videos of Juarez, and this is really cool because this goes from 1950s up into the 80s. And
oh, cool.
So I'll do the share a link on it, but I just face-friended with them. So it's really cool, though.
Speaking of videos from Juarez, you won't believe what we have available on the the ABC 7 series. Thank you for doing that. We eventually will get back on ABC 7 with Bernard Sargent because we did four more of those since the last time, Bernie. And as you well know, you were there. But we did the Sleda Mission. The Socorro Mission, the Presidio Chapel known as San Elizario.
El Ciario
was the saint.
I know.
But the chapel is San Elizario because the gringos couldn't say the other one, I think.
I did.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I just
okay,
did.
But the thing is, the other one, we did the fourth one, which is the Juarez Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And to look at the pictures and the drawing, not pictures, but drawings from the old days, and you see this little mission kind of on a rise, which is why it never flooded. They put that up on a tiny
smart
little...
Smart people they
well,
were.
They did, because all the rest of them in the El Paso side, what became the El Paso side of the missions, those things all flooded out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even San Elizario flooded out.
Adobe doesn't hold up good.
No, it doesn't,
water.
But no. It did in Juarez because they put it on that little rise. So if you walk into the Juarez mission, you will see the original construction, and the woodwork in there is just incredible. So what we did, we got a hold of a guy who had a drone over in Juarez, and we flew the drones in El Paso because I'm a legal drone pilot. We did that. And so we got great aerials of all of these buildings, these old churches. But the one in Juarez, I was saying, how am I going to do that? So we found a guy in Juarez who could do that, so we got his footage. It's amazing to see that tiny little white church jammed into downtown Juarez right now. Because it's jammed in there.
They got a nice placita right around it. It's really beautiful if you ever have a chance to go see it.
And just north of that, on toward El Paso, is the cathedral.
Yep.
And that's like a 1940s, 50s construction. That's the newer one.
Yes.
Because the first one was, 1659, I believe. It began that one. So anyway, we've got those videos ready to go whenever ABC switches back to whatever reality we think we're going to get onto. We'll have the history ready to go. Those are El Paso History TV moments. And we put those on YouTube. We've got the first 16 already on there. Mm-hmm. And you go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV. There's a playlist of Bernie and the whole thing. You got 16 of them there. And remember we did Waco Tanks. We did Loretto Academy. We did the Camino Real. What else?
It was fun at Waco because we ran into some folks from Europe that were traveling around. And they were just fascinated. And we're telling them what we were doing. And when we were doing the one down at Chicken Ranch Road in San Elizario, we ran into some folks from around the country in Canada and turned them on to the radio show and to the YouTube.
And we'll have to talk a bit more maybe later in the show this morning about that Chicken Ranch Road thing.
Yeah.
Because that appears to be where Oñate had his party.
That's what we found.
Okay, so we'll hear how those details went. But the rest of the stuff on YouTube is there. We got the Loretto Academy, Chamizal, Fort Bliss. All that stuff is there, and if you want to learn some things about El Paso history, those things are like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes total. So go look at one of those. There's 16 of them. We got four more ready to go, total of 20. And that kind of explains El Paso history once we get the next four up there. But also, what I decided to do about a month ago is that, okay, what can I do to contribute to the issues at hand? Because everybody's freaking out. What are we going to do? So what we did was I put on 11 of my DVDs that we used to sell as DVDs. Nobody buys DVDs anymore, so what the heck? Put them on there for free. And if you want to go learn a lot about El Paso, there's a playlist now on you go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV and get the playlist on the documentaries. And we have the Stacks Came Down. That was a week ago Monday.
Yeah.
No, excuse me, 7 years ago Monday.
Yeah.
Not a week ago. 7 years.
Time seems like it.
Time flies.
I know.
Time flies when you're having fun. So anyway, 7 years ago Monday, that thing came down. So we have a whole video about that. But also the gunfights of the Old West we mentioned, those are on there. And those are bizarre because El Paso had the gunfight history, if you like that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people do. And it's, you know, rough history, but it's, it happened. And when you guys reenacted that as Six Guns and Shady Ladies, we took over a bar. Where was that place? Out there on Montana?
Rincon,
oh,
yeah.
The old time, old West Town.
Franklin Town.
Yeah, we took that. And then when somebody cut that up into pieces and moved it out 60 miles into the desert for
that stupid
promotion scam.
Oh, that was
It's
a
still
scam.
Out there, I think.
Yeah.
But anyways, before they did that, we did the video in that old bar. And we shot John Wesley Hart, and I think I counted 19 takes. We made
Is
you guys.
That how long did you do?
Yeah, I had to move the camera. I only had one camera.
That's not true. Bad with a six shooter. Huh?
and you guys were using the quarter loads. Otherwise, we'd have filled up the room with smoke.
Oh, yeah.
And the last one was a full load.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that thing was.
Well, I think the picture, the still that we got out of that, is just impressive because you can see what happens when you fire a single action.
Oh, Frank Varela.
No, it was Frank Barone.
Frank Barone. Excuse me.
Frank Barone. And he blew that thing, and I had a tight shot on the gun.
That was great.
Oh, my God. So anyway, that video is now online for free. Legends of El Paso's Mountains. You want to know where the Lost Padre Mine is? We pointed out. It's right there. Uh-huh. But you know from that, talk about that cathedral in Juarez. Mm-hmm. It's in the way of the mission. As you look from the old mission and look to the Franklin Mountains, that cathedral is now in the way. But so if you look at the legends, you stand at either the steeple tower or on the ground at the front door. And in the old days, you could see the opening of the Lost Padre Mine on a given day with the sunrise, sunset, whatever. I don't know which one it was. But on a given day, you could see the opening of the Lost Padre Mine up on the Franklins. Well, they put the cathedral in there, so it got in the way. So what I did, the next best thing was, I got up on the cathedral with a camera and said, look, this is about right. So if you want to know where the Lost Padre Mine is, look at that shot. It's there. I can't tell you exactly where. But what it is was the Pueblo Revolt 1680. They came down. The Spanish were being kicked out of northern New Mexico. Do you remember some of those details?
Yeah, yeah. It was an uprising that took place. The natives up there had finally been fed up with the management, so to speak, that the Spaniards inflicted upon them with the new strange religion and the requirements for farming and ranching and so on. They actually, what would happen is when the weather got cold, the Spaniards would chase the natives out of their homes and take them over.
Oh.
So they had to go into the mountains and seek refuge from the cold. So this didn't set well with them, obviously, and that was one of the reasons why the folks up there just united and rose up against the Spaniards and chased them down here. And a handful of the natives, quite a large handful of natives, came with the Spaniards because they had been changed to Catholicism and so on. And
they followed the priests.
They followed the priests and so on. Because one of the things that they tried to do is give them a semblance of nourishment and things like that. They said, okay, you follow us, we will take care of you. And they did take care of some of them, but some of them just didn't want to follow.
They picked up the Tiguas of a slutter with an I and turned them into a slutter with a Y.
With a Y.
When they got to El Paso. Yep. Same with the, I guess it was the, who was it in Socorro?
Well, they had the Piro. The Piros. Piro, Manso, and Tiwa were down here already, but they had got, a lot of them had gone up north with the Spaniards. They'd converted and so on or been enslaved. You know, lots of different things took place with these people back in those days, which thank God doesn't happen anymore. But they went north, and then they ended up coming back south again. I should say their children did, because
years later.
It was years later.
Oñate went up in 1598. By 1680, 82 years later, this is when the uprising occurred.
Yeah.
So just to quickly finish that story, the uprising occurred. The Spanish come running down the Rio Grande. And what they did, they collected the stuff off of the altars of all the churches. There were like 80 different churches and ranches and missions, and they were collecting all the stuff that was valuable, and that is what they brought to El Paso and stuck in the Franklin Mountains somewhere, and that is the Lost Padre Mine.
And we did try to find that one time.
Oh, my God. How many times have I tried to find it? I remember back in middle school, we kept having a contest. Let's go see what we can find. And the funny thing is, when you stand at that location in Juarez, you can see both sides of the Franklin Mountains.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody thinks you only see the west side. Mm-hmm. You see the east side, too. Yeah.
Maybe you could drone shoot it in the morning when the sun comes up and then do the same thing in the evening when the sun goes down.
Next best thing was the guy that shot the drone in Juarez, I didn't put it in the video we're doing, but he'd made a pass right across that area. Mm-hmm. I've got that shot now in high definition. I'll post that one of these days.
I'm not going to carry the battery.
No. after we find the Lost Padre mine, I'll show you how we did it.
Oh, okay.
Enough of this. We've got to take a break here. I think we should take one more break here. Bernie Sargent's in the house. We're talking basically Coronado, but anything Spanish and old history. If you've got a question on that, we don't know it. We'll make it up or we'll refer you.
The settlement of the Western Hemisphere, just fascinating. The iterations that took place between the Spanish and the Portuguese and the problems they had.
Well, the thing was that the Spanish, as we talked about with Martha Vere a couple of weeks ago, the Spanish influence here, obviously, with the language and the names and all that, and the people from Mexico and all the same names as people in Spain, all of that was a major deal that is not really well known in history. Mm-hmm. But it made a huge impact on North America, obviously.
Well, and I'll explain some of that after we come back from the break.
Fair enough. Okay, ring us up if you like, because we're sitting here waiting for a phone call. In fact, Shelley, call us on your cell and see if the phones are working.
The phone's working.
And we'll put you on the air. What the heck? Maybe you have a question. You don't have a question? Just call us on the air. And you're not going to do that. Okay, enough of that. But you got to give out the phone number, Melissa. I know you're not going to do that.
They can call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We said we're going to give you the phone numbers of those people that do the restaurant business, and also the website, MissionDelRay.com. Is the crowd there. The name of the company is Mission Del Rey Southwest. They got a huge showroom, but what it is it's sort of like a picking file that they had created for their web business. And they decided, well, let's open it up, so we'll talk to the history people and put them on the radio, which we do. But now they're kind of like back into being the web business, so you can still get stuff at Mission Del Rey. But yeah, look at page 4. I think page 4 is where you should go. Call Pepe's and get a takeout for today, 877-2152. And 6761 Donovan, they're out there in the county up there.
That's right.
877-2152 for a Pepe's takeout. And another one you got there is?
Well, it's the same idea for Amigos, a Mexican food restaurant. It's located at 2000 Montana. You can give them a call at 533-0155, and you can take an order, a takeout order, or pick up at 2000 Montana. And you can also, like you said, have the patio out there where you can sit, I guess, safely apart. And, going out for food, takeout food is allowed under this city ordinance.
It is. So. And see, sometimes you feel paranoid about going out of your house to do this, but this is allowed.
I don't.
No, I mean, I don't either, because this is allowed.
I'm a rebel.
They're going to get you for a $1,000 fine for whatever you're doing. You're an idiot.
Catch me.
No, I'm going out to get food.
That's
you can also
right.
go to a doctor's office and later in the week to get whatever they got releases. Yes. The restrictions are
And also, we can't forget, like I said, the extensive online catalog that our friends at MissionDelRay.com have.
Yeah, they got a good thing going on there. Back to the idea of our... our YouTube channel is www.youtube.com/El Paso History TV. And on there, we've got some new people. Peta, P-E-T-A, Rikus, R-I-C-H-K-U. I don't know where she's from. I saw the picture. It was a woman. Another somebody called Just Make Something. I don't know who that is, but that's what that's their handle online. Marxa Moxa. Oh, God, I shouldn't have tried that one.
Yeah.
All these people, where are they from? Bonnie Juarez, I know her.
Yeah, Bonnie,
I can say that. Anyway, we appreciate you all looking at that, and these are people joining the YouTube page out there and becoming part of that. Okay, the history of El Paso and Coronado, I'll ask the question again. If you heard it earlier, you know the answer, but if you missed the first part of the show, Bernie Sargent, we have Coronado. I did Coronado, El Paso, Texas as a search. Over 3 million hits. I keep referring to the cleaners. I know there's a TV repair place. We know about the Cook Country Club. We know about the high school. And Coronado must have been big in our history. Tell us about how many times the guy was here.
Zero.
Nada. He wasn't even here ever.
No.
And so how did he get all these names?
It was easy to pronounce, I guess. I don't know.
It's an interesting old...
He had a major impact on the Southwest. Arizona, New Mexico territory. Somewhat the panhandle of Texas, Kansas. It did impact it. One of his captains discovered, I shouldn't say discovered, but was the first European to see the Grand Canyon.
Tovar.
Yes.
Have you ever been to a Tovar house in the Grand Canyon?
Yes.
It's the biggest biggest place over there,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting hotel mm-hmm. named for the guy that was with Coronado.
Mm-hmm.
So Coronado split up, and the people went various directions. This guy went over and
Well, can you imagine, though, when he found the Grand Canyon, what they must have thought?
Well, they thought it was a little sliver of a stream at first.
Yeah.
And then they tried twice to climb down there, and they couldn't do it. They didn't have the provisions to do it or enough rope.
Or donkeys.
Miles.
Yeah. Donkeys and mules.
Yeah, we were over there one time about a couple of years ago, and we saw this tiny, funny thing way down at the bottom flipping around and realized, oh, that's a helicopter. And it was so far down, the distance line of sight was probably a mile and a half.
Yeah.
Not straight down, but out and down. And my wife and I were looking at it and said, what is that? Oh, that's a helicopter. And so they do the tours down. Okay, we've stirred the people up. One of them is in Las Cruces. Now he's on the radio. His name is Troy. Good morning, sir.
Hey.
Good morning, lady and gentlemen. How is everybody?
Thank you. We're just wonderful. And you and the family?
Everyone's doing great. Hanging in there, just carrying on like everyone else. Pace is slow. We carry on best we can.
Are you working from home?
Partly, yes. So in a little bit at City Hall, at the remote location, i.e. my office at home, the rest of the time.
Otherwise, so, you're a Las Cruces dude these days. You're getting closer back to El Paso every time you move.
Yes. It's the retroactive relocation is in motion, so...
But your Texas passport has expired, Troy.
Yeah, your Texas passport needs to be renewed. So what's on your mind this morning? We stirred you up, huh?
Yes. Hey, great topic. And I don't know if you've mentioned it yet, but the great book from J. Frank Dobie.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes.
Coronado's Children.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, okay, wonderful book, and it is the stuff that has fueled the imagination of people in the Southwest, ever since the arrival of Spaniards in the 16th century. And it's really, really interesting because, the fact that the shadow of Coronado's legacy is so extensive, and even though his routes are far-reaching and extensive across the present-day Southwest, that impact is in many ways concentrated in several locations.
It, by the way, Melissa, can you find a map of that and put it on Facebook?
Which one?
Coronado's Travels.
Oh, yes.
That'd be great. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, Troy.
You're talking everybody. Huh?
He went not too far north of Las Cruces, but he didn't make it to Las Cruces either, did he?
No, he was a little bit to the west and to the north, of course, but I mean... the fact is that what Coronado was able to achieve is basically, I guess we could call it preliminary reconnaissance, understanding the lay of the land and realizing that this really deep and wide river is the crucial corridor throughout this land, which, as you said a few minutes ago, in the revolt in 1680, where were all the estancias and the haciendas located in there along the river north from El Paso del Norte, going all the way north up to Santa Fe? Now, not a whole lot in between Santa Fe and El Paso, but you did not veer too terribly far away from the river there in the 17th century. So, Coronado basically laid that groundwork, which is pretty... an impressive legacy for what he accomplished by exploring and walking a great bit of the continent in order to figure out what is here. And to the point you made a moment ago, no, I personally cannot imagine what those fellas must have thought when they reached the edge of the earth, where it had a great big gaping opening, and it was, the river was way down there.
Oh, the Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon.
Oh, my, yeah.
And to stand there, they must have stood there in awe and wondered, how did this happen?
Right.
When did, these are powerful forces and such.
We still stand there in awe and say, how did this happen? We don't know.
It's an amazing place. Yeah,
absolutely. It's, when you're at Santa Elena Canyon in Big Bend.
Yes.
Which even though it's only 1,500 foot depth, you look at it and it's still, in comparison, yes, it's more shallow than Grand Canyon, but it's extraordinarily impressive.
Well, there's another one that he found, and that was over at Palo Duro. His expedition went to Bernie. Right. They went to Palo Duro, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
They did, yes. And one of the most fascinating things, and I had the good opportunity a decade or so ago to be with a group of people that did a tour throughout a day. And we went with an archaeologist and several of his colleagues who had done extensive work for 20-some-odd years along that route. They were retracing Coronado's route. And the artifacts that they had found, the things that, you know, that were left behind, the bits of metal, the coins, and all the items that are typically dropped when you're moving so many men and animals at the same time. And it was incredible to retrace their route and to put fact about the actual route because of what had been verified with the location of items versus how we want that story to be told. You know, every town in that part of Texas wants to be on Coronado's route. But,
mine too.
You know, but it's not accurate. But, you know, again, we are the children of Coronado, so what can you say?
And that legend of the Lost Padre Mine is in that book.
It is. It's
the best story told because they said all kinds of stuff, not just the artifacts from the churches, but documents from the Catholic Church, quote, owning the land or whatever. I'm not sure what those are, all the codices or whatever they were. A bunch of stuff should be in that Lost Padre Mine, supposedly in the Franklin
That's
Mountains.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's very timely that you're talking about this topic this morning.
Because?
6 days from now, next Friday, is going to be the day that will mark the 50th anniversary. So we go back to 1970. It was, on the one hand, a moment of just a bureaucratic activity, but it's very significant.
That
day, in 1970, nine historic resources were listed on the State Register of New Mexico, including the Butterfield Trail and El Camino Real.
Oh, yes.
That was the first time that they were listed as a historic resource in New Mexico. I think it is not long thereafter that they are listed on the Texas Register.
And that just shows you how late the information is getting out about this corridor. This is probably the most historic and lengthy corridor of history, human history, in North America.
And in North America, most definitely, because you think about the Silk Road in Asia
compares.
Marco Polo's route.
This compares.
Very close to it, yeah.
Absolutely. And a gentleman named Mike Taylor Romero, who is retired from the National Park Service, you may know him. He's done a lot of work in El Paso, all along Camino Real, from San Eli to Santa Fe. Mike gave a presentation a few years back. And he has walked part of the Silk Road.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, he's personally done it. And he made that point, Jackson. He said, in comparison, the Camino Real is as significant to North America as the Silk Road was to Asia and to that part, connecting to that part of Europe.
And Troy Ainsworth, who knows that? That's what we're talking about. This should be common knowledge among school people. We got to move on here, Troy, but thank you. And listen up second hour if you got some more thoughts. Bring them up on the phone, would you?
Mighty good. Y'all
keep on. Take care. Tell everybody hi.
You take her easy, dude. Right. Thanks a lot for calling up. We got to take a break here and come back and talk to some more people who have called up. And as soon as I let that phone line go, another one's right under it. There's calls coming up everywhere.
Good.
544-whatever.
5876 or 544-KTSM.